And then there is the case where a monk studies the Dhamma, dialogues and narratives of mixed prose and verse, explanations, verses, spontaneous exclamations, quotations, birth stories, amazing events, questions and answer sessions. He doesn't spend the day in Dhamma study. He doesn't neglect seclusion. He commits himself to internal tranquility of awareness. This is called a monk who dwells in the Dhamma. Now, Bhikkhu, I have taught you the person who is keen on study, the one who is keen on description, the one who is keen on recitation, the one who is keen on thinking, and the one who dwells in the Dhamma. Whatever a teacher should do, seeking the welfare of his disciples, out of sympathy for them, that I have done for you. Over there are roots of trees, over there are empty places. Practice jhana, monk, don't be heedless. Don't let it fall into regret. This is our message to you. Okay, Ajahn, I got the title because I was, and I've looked at the Pali too. The word there for one who thinks about the Dhamma a lot is called a pariyatti bahulo. They call in Pali pariyatti bahulo, which is, you know, someone who thinks a lot about, or pariyatti bahulo. That, when I saw that word, I thought, that seems, and I want to stress the word seems here, Ajahn, that it seems to be saying that that's not helpful. And yes, so there was a few other questions. That I would like to hear what you think about that, Ajahn, because it seems, and I say seems, I stress seems, to be discounting the value of pariyatti.
So what?
So my question is, the Buddha here is saying, don't be one who, as he says here, don't be one who spends the day in pariyatti. Be the one, and don't be the one who neglects seclusion. So I'm just interested to hear how you see that sutta, how you understand it.
Because you see that no matter one learns a lot from book, without understanding of the point, what for, it's useless. But when one knows that even one word shouldn't be neglected, like no one, no self at all. Dhamma is Dhamma. So at this moment, we are talking about Dhamma. It doesn't mean just the word in the book.
No.
But we talk about whatever appears now, explained in the book, without studying the book carefully, with the understanding of it will be the point of no one knows self, who is reading, hearing, studying, is useless, no matter by way of different explanation, like Vedanta and so on. But without understanding that now, it's just like that. With the understanding of no self, it will condition the beginning of understanding the moment of sati with panya. And even the word, what you say, secluded.
Oh yeah, secluded means the Pali, they say,
yes.
Patisallanam, you know.
But if there is no understanding of the no self, how can the word be secluded?
Yeah.
It's from just one word, no one, no self. So no matter we talk about what is there in Tipitaka, all leads to reality now as no self. That is the meaning of secluded. So it does mean that study is not useful at all.
No, no.
But it is useful only when it can condition seclusion.
Yes, I hear what you're saying, Ajahn. I'm just aware that when many people reading that sutta...
Many people have to understand...
Yes.
Without understanding.
Yes, I hear what
you're saying. It all depends on the understanding of reality as a self.
I'm curious, though, why the Buddha... I mean, this is only imagining, and I'm not sort of questioning the Buddha in a way, but this sutta doesn't say there is a monk who studies the Dhamma carefully and also who has seclusion. He doesn't say that one.
That's in the second last paragraph.
No, it doesn't say that.
Then there's a case of where a monk studies the Dhamma, dialogues, narratives of mixed prose and verse, explanation, verses, spontaneous exclamations, quotations, birth stories, amazing events, questions and answer sessions. He doesn't spend a day in Dhamma study. He doesn't neglect seclusion. He doesn't. He commits himself to internal tranquility of awareness. This is called a monk who dwells in the Dhamma.
Well, okay.
So he studies and he dwells.
He doesn't spend the day, but he says he doesn't spend the day in Dhamma study.
Yeah, he doesn't spend the day means that he is not, he doesn't think that one should spend a day in Dhamma study, as a lot of people wrongly understand. He doesn't think like that. He knows the purpose of study is to understand directly.
Then there is the case where a monk studies the Dhamma, dialogues, etc., 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 quotations, questions and answers sessions. He doesn't spend the day in Dhamma. I mean,
only that is not studying the Dhamma, but the understanding of each word, which will bring about the understanding of no one now. From reading, considering.
I hear what you're saying, Ajahn.
Why when one reads with understanding about Dhamma, no one, no self, one understands each word as no self, not that person. It's a good in reading. That's why not only that.
No.
It has to be conditions for a moment of samma sati.
Yes. Yes.
Which means seclusion.
Yes. Yes, of course. Oh yes. I hear what you're saying, John. I hear that. It's just that it seems to me that it's like when the case that Khun Su Khin has just pointed out. Then there is the case where a monk studies the Dhamma, dialogues, etc., birth stories, etc., questions and answers. But he doesn't spend the day in Dhamma study, which the word there is pariyatti, whereas he doesn't spend it in pariyatti. But you would think, it seems that, and I'm just pursuing this because it seems that pariyatti is the basis for patipatti.
Yes, but for some people they might think that it's only the word in the book.
Yes, okay.
Sometimes I've heard Ajahn express the word pariyatti as in understanding, and sometimes it just means having lot of book knowledge also. So sometimes you can refer pariyatti as in having just book knowledge.
But anyway, it has to be understanding.
Yes, true.
This is most important.
So in this context, Ajahn, just to clarify that, you would say sometimes then pariyatti can just mean that, just book learning.
With understanding.
But in this case, Ajahn, what he's saying is that...
No, what he's saying.
Is that in the Pali, he doesn't spend a day in Dhamma study. In the Pali, it is referring, he doesn't spend a day in pariyatti.
Understanding. Just read.
He doesn't... Yeah. So sometimes the word doesn't spend the day in pariyatti here because it's saying that the right person doesn't spend a day in pariyatti. Means that he doesn't... What I understand is he doesn't spend the day just reading without understanding. Some people want to read
otherwise,
without understanding. What Buddha is saying he is objecting to is spending the day reading without understanding.
So each word of the Buddha is understanding, for understanding.
True. The last... In the Pali, the word, of course, says in the bottom part there that I wanted to follow up to, because somebody had mentioned this, Ellen had mentioned this, it says practice jhana. Now the word in Pali is jayate, so I would like, I don't know, perhaps you can elaborate, I don't know what it says in the Thai. It says, can you see what it says when it says down the below practice jhana? But the Pali word is jayate, so does that always mean, it doesn't necessarily mean jhana, you know, like 1, 2, 3, 4.
There are two kinds of jhana.
Yes.
Aramana.
Aramana jhana too.
And Lakanupa
nisana. Okay. So please just elaborate on those jhana.
Aramana is the concentrated on the fixed object to become, to be concentrated.
Mm-hmm.
Only that. But it can be wrong or right.
When you say it can be wrong or
okay,
right?
Okay, just look at this.
Yes.
On and on and on.
Yes.
That is wrong or right, concentration.
Yes, yes.
of samatha. No, it's not tranquil.
So, even when it's wrong, it is referred to as jhana?
We have to use what is jhana. It has to be how many chetasikas to be jhana pachya.
Okay.
Only that.
Alright, so it can arise with akusla also.
Certainly.
Can you just go back, Ajahn, to those two different distinctions that Lakanu Panichan. Can you just please talk to that a little bit more?
Okay. When there is no understanding at all, can it be Lakanu Panichan?
No.
But when there is understanding, it means that at that moment there must be some masati of the Eightfold Path, because it understands the lakana, the characteristic which is of self, beginning to see little by little the non-self of that reality.
So here, what is the Thai word, do you know, where it says that there?
The last sentence there.
It says practice jhana in English. What does it say in the Thai?
It says Tejong Peng Shan.
I see.
But you see that who can understand what's meant by Peng Chan?
That's right.
They use the word without understanding. Because no understanding of reality, no understanding of the teachings of Buddha. That they just use the word.
You know, Sundara, even in Thai, I mean, this is like somebody can misunderstanding.
Totally.
All this, you know, like... yeah, the whole thing here. I mean, if we didn't study Dhamma with Ajahn, we wouldn't understand, you know, what this
means.
Yeah.
So
a lot of people would say, you see here in Tipitaka, they also mention this, and how come you said it's not right, you know? But because we understand what it is, so we don't misunderstand it.
Yes, it's difficult.
So Lakanu Panishan is also Vipassanayana?
Not Vipassanayana yet.
Oh.
It's a Dipatthana for sure.
So when we hear about jhana in such context, it just means direct understanding.
Certainly. Each word bears so many meanings, leading to understanding different levels. There cannot be understanding without listening carefully and really understand the meaning of each word, which represents reality. More or less, depending on what one think about it. For example, Peng Chan, see, you don't know what does it mean.
Or, how would you translate it in Thai, Ajahn? How would you translate it?
From the book. But when we understand, it means a development of understanding. Each moment with vitakka of the characteristic, it is sangop, or tranquility. It doesn't mean that without understanding the characteristic. But even right now, there is patsati.
There is.
Patsati.
Yes.
Yeah. But not the degree of jhana yet.
No.
But it's there, the beginning, built up little by little until it's perfect. See, when there is the understanding, we can read with understanding. But when there is no understanding, we read without understanding.
And Ajahn, we can see if there's no past accumulations, it's impossible to read with understanding.
Right. Can anyone do anything? But Panya is developing from hearing, considering.
So it's so important to consider each word, as you have said many times, so very carefully. And when there's not the correct pariyatti in a way, it's so easy to misunderstand and to misinterpret the Dhamma.
That's why there are meditation centers.
Okay. That's helpful. I'm glad, because when I saw the word pariyatti bahulo, which means somebody who does a lot or a lot of study, but
and only words.
Yes, only words. Okay.
Not understanding.
No.
The explanation is in the second sutta.
The second one.
the dutiya. So please, can you translate what
you can read from the sutta, from the second sutta. You can read now.
Yeah, Chan Chan, we will make a comment here. But it does say in the text that there are trees and empty huts to go to. So it seems to say that seclusion means to go outside of social context, to be alone, etc.
Do you have the following sutta?
Yes, I hear you, and I'm just going to go to it now.
And answer the question from Will.
Chan, I have a question about rupas conditioned by karma. What are the rupas that are conditioned by karma?
Ideas, yeah, five. And then femininity, masculinity, and then jivitindriya. How many now? Seven,
eight.
One more. Hatiyamatu.
Is it that I'm wondering whether actually karma conditions also other rupas, but these are what the Buddha taught for us to understand.
What else?
Because when I hear in some suttas that the Buddha says that the result of lying is bad breath, I wonder what that means. One is born with bad breath.
Anything and akusala vipaka.
Yeah, but
condition.
His own bad breath, that person's own bad breath, other people are smelling is what they're smelling.
Without the eight primary rupa, without the eight, the inseparable rupas, can there be other anything else besides nine?
So you're saying that even the pasada rupas can have such that in the kalapa
ten rupa in the kalapa only ten.
So in that kalapa where the pasada rupa is there,
but when they are together, can there be some smell?
Can be
taste.
Okay.
Whisper objects.
I'm just trying to find that one that Kunapadon has just referred to. Well, I found the English, but it's not the commentary, but the next sutta after the one that we've just done, and it says for that number, the next one is number 74, another monk approached the Exalted One and spoke to in like manner, and the Exalted One said, "Monk, consider the monk who masters the Dhamma, the sayings, the palms, and so forth, but knows not through insight the goal beyond." Now, has got a note down there that relates to commentary. Uttarim, uttarin, cha asa panyaya attam na pajanati. Commentary, uttarin, yasa dhammasa, chatari sachani na pasati. He doesn't see. All right. That's not so clear to me. I'd have to look at that more carefully, but you can kind of make out what it's sort of saying there. So consider the monk who masters the Dhamma, etc., but knows not through insight the goal beyond. Monk, that monk is said to be swift in to master, but he does not live by Dhamma. So that's interesting, Ajahn, because it says there, oh, dear me, the sayings, he masters all the, you know, the Dhamma, the sayings and the psalms, etc., etc. He knows them all, but knows not through insight the goal beyond. All right, monk, that monk is said to be swift to master, but he does not live by Dhamma. So in the English, Manguttara Nikaya, it doesn't sort of say so much more. It seems to be saying something very different to what Kunapadon that you were saying before. I didn't understand that very well. Not that it's very helpful, because it just says in the Pali, uttarincha chasa panyaya adham na pajanati. He does not know the meaning the higher meaning, the uttarin, something to do with the higher meaning. Asir, he's not possessed of wisdom and meaning, he does not know. Commentary says, uttaring tasa dhammasa chatari sachani napasati. He doesn't see the Four Noble Truths, something like that. So it doesn't really, it just says he is ignorant about the Dhamma, essentially. He does not know the Dhamma, as it should be known.
And Acharya, it would seem reasonable that the Buddha would encourage all kinds of kusala over just reading without understanding. So if someone had accumulations for jhana, better jhana than just reading with no understanding.
And jhana is not the goal.
But it's not the goal. But it's better than reading with no understanding, because if there's no reading, if reading with no understanding, then it's reading with ignorance and attachment. So jhana is still better than ignorance and attachment.
But he didn't become enlightened because just teaching the jhana.
Why I'm saying this is because the commentary which Punnapadon was reading earlier seemed to be saying that the Buddha was actually pointing to both kinds of jhana, not only Lakkhanupanishad.
Yes, but just only the jhana, is it useful?
Not useful, but better than studying without understanding.
So not just jhana, Arumanamanupanishadana.
That is
no matter what, Aramanupanichan or Lakkhanupanichan. Is it clear?
I will listen again to what those words you're describing, Ajahn, they're not clear to me, no. You mentioned two, the Lakkhanupanisya and the other one?
Aramanupanichan.
Those distinctions are not clear to me.
We call shortly chana.
Sorry.
Which jhana.
Yes.
But it means aramanupanichan.
Okay. So how do you understand that? So
no, aramanupanichana is the jhana that which normally most people refer to. It means that it's the jhana that depends on the concentrating on a particular aramana.
And the other one?
And the other is Lakkhanupanishad. Lakkhanupanishad.
Okay. That's much clearer now. Thank you, Ajahn.
Otherwise, when Buddha mentioned the word jhana, most people think that it's only Lakkhanupanishad. Aramanupanishad.
Yes. Not Lakkhanupanishad.
But actually, it has to be Lakkhanupanishad. Otherwise, the Aramanupanishad is useless.
So, right understanding at the intellectual level, pariyati, can be said to be the development of satchayana. Because satchayana is knowing intellectually, firm intellectual understanding of the Four Noble Truths.
Even satchayana has the level of pariyati, patipati, and pativeda.
Oh, okay. Yes, I understand that. Because for it to be more and more firm, there has to be some patipati and pativeda also. One of the four noble truths is the fourth noble truth is the path. So one of the understanding is there's firm understanding of the path. So when one understands the path, then there's no confusion between jhana, which the Buddha taught. We're not going to have doubt that the Buddha, when he taught jhana, when he says it like in this context, he didn't mean aramanupanisana.
Aramanupanishana.
He would have only meant the path. That's associated with the
path.
Even
it is Aramanupanishad, that's not the goal.
Yes. I mean, Arumanu Panichan cannot lead to
enlightenment.
Perhaps I'd just like to look at that sutra, think about that sutra in another way, if I may, Ajahn, because he's talking about the Parayati Bahulo bhikkhu, the one who's absorbed or one who does a lot of Parayati.
Understanding.
But here, in that sutta though, it's, you seem to be saying still, I'm just clarifying this, that there is not the understanding in this particular monk, the one who's Parayati Bahulo, you know, the has much Parayati. He has much Parayati, but he's not, there is not seclusion of chitta.
Not panya at that level.
No.
If I may.
Yeah, yes.
Acha, what Sundra is wanting to a further explanation and clarification is the part where it is said here, he doesn't spend a day in Dhamma study. This is the part where the Buddha is saying that,
but we
this is the monk who dwells in the Dhamma.
Yeah, but we have to understand what's meant by study.
Mm. So the term that's used in the Pali is Parayati Bahulo, which if we don't know the context, it would mean someone who is who has high Parayati.
No matter how many books has read.
So means it actually means
the understanding of
book knowledge, wide knowledge. Here it means just wide knowledge in all the teachings, the whole range. And so just having that wide knowledge without understanding,
it cannot be called Pahula.
Cannot be called
Pahula.
Pahula.
But here it's saying it is Pahula.
The meaning of it, what's the meaning of that word, Pahula? Lots of books. No, understanding.
So no understanding.
So it's not Pahula.
It's not real Pahula.
Mm. But the understanding.
And not real Parayati.
Mm. Because Parayati means so well known. Mm. Not just know the word.
I mean, I have no problem with that. But is it something you need to convince someone or something?
No, I don't need to convince the other. I have confidence that what you're saying is true, Ajahn. I'm just, as much as thinking on behalf of other people and trying to think through them to some extent, how they may see this and how they may understand it. But you've explained it well, especially in relationship to that jhana factor also, that if there's not the correct understanding of what the object is according to Satipatthana, then there will be problems.
But if one does have the right understanding at all, just know the word, can you help the other?
No, of course not, a jhana.
I think that's important. Those people who don't have understanding will find something to object. And there's no way you can convince them otherwise.
Mm, yeah.
They'll take out texts like this and argue
that's
non-stop.
Right. See,
whereas talking to me, for example, and as Ajahn explained, I agree that this is how it should be understood. The person who doesn't want to understand will argue, and it's
exactly.
Just stick to that and say, no, it's written like this, it's written
exactly.
Like
that.
That's very important, because doubt is one of the enemies to understanding. Lots of questions.
So, yeah, just to further clarify then, Ajahn, that lakanupanijan is the understanding of the characteristic which appears, and that's what's being referred to specifically here, as opposed to Aramanupanijan.
That should be understood. It should be understood of its characteristic,
yes.
As no self,
yes.
Either.
Even the Aramanupanijan must be understood as
Dhamma.
With Tukang, Anicham, and Anatta.
Okay, so I'm still a bit further confused then. So Aramanupanijan, I thought that was just referring to people who ought to bhikkhus or people from other followings who are developing jhana.
It's referring to jhana chitta.
Yeah.
A particular jhana chitta with aramanas, particular aramanas. It's referring to jhana chitta. But for the person who's understands the Buddha's teachings, will understand that even these chittas arise and fall away. And that's Lakkhanupanishad.
Lakkhanupa of jhana, which is the object. Is there jhana now?
No.
Is there jhana pachaya now?
Probably, possibly.
That's why we have to know what chetasikas are jhana pachaya.
So, could you speak to that, Ajahn? What chetasikas are jhana pachaya?
No, pardon, please. Jhana pachaya. Vireba. Vitaka. Vichara.
Oh, okay.
Piti.
Five.
Oh, yes,
seven was Vedana included, not just Somanasa.
What Kun Nopadun is saying is that, in case you misunderstand what I said, when I said that Aramanupanishan can be object of direct understanding, to know the characteristic of rise and fall, it's not knowing the aramana, it's knowing the different realities involved. So it can be the chitta, it can be the different jhana factors, vitaka, vichara, and all those chittas.
So,
Ajahn,
can you
talk about pachya and the result, pachyupanna dhamma. So, what are the realities, which is the jhana pachya? Seven. Whenever any of the seven arises, that is Pachyupan. So the question is there jhana now? Is it clear now?
Exactly.
The most difficult part.
In your question, Ajahn, is it clear? It's becoming clearer. I know it's not an easy area. I don't find it easy to understand. But what you were saying there, that there are jhana factors arising now, there must be, correct? There must be jhana factors arising now.
What are they?
Well, vitaka, vichara, piti, possibly piti, ekagata.
Whatever citta
it
arises with, is pachyupanna.
That's a little bit clearer.
But it's not reached the degree of jhana, the first, second, and so on.
Recently, I'd been reading from Survey of Pathamata Dhammas, chapter 2 about the sobhana and asobhana, and several chapters prior to that, I've been reading information about the variegated nature of chittas, chitta being the chief of experience. That's the primary thing that is, how can I put, wished to be imprinted or burned into the consciousness, in a way of speaking. And the chapter of page 22 concludes, this is just amazing volume here, an amazing chapter. It concludes with the simile of, if I may, it is said, this is in the commentary to the Visuddhimagga and the Paramatta. It is said that Rupakanda is like a dish because it bears the food which will bring happiness. Vedanakanda is like the food in that dish. Sanyakanda is like the curry sauce poured over the food that enhances its flavor, because owing to the perception of beauty, it hides the nature of the food that is feeling. Sankara kanda is like the server of the food, being a cause of feeling. Vijnana kanda is like the one partaking, or the eater, the one who partakes of the food because it is helped by feeling. And then after that, there are the four jatis, kusla, akusla, vipaka, and kirya, and then the three groups of dhamma. According to dhamma, they can be grouped according to the dhamma. Kusla, akusla, or indeterminate, or avyakata. And then there is asankarika, which is the prompted, there's sansankarika, prompted, and asankarika, unprompted, and then there's a sobhana and asobhana. And simply because something is not sobhana is not necessarily akusala. Right, okay. But
what are they?
Oh.
Which is a sobhana, but not akusala.
That's what I've been trying to, because I just finished this chapter and I did want some commentary and discussion on this because I don't know that I have it exactly. But vipaka citta, for example, and kriya citta.
Can we say ahetuka cittas?
Ahetuka cittas.
So it's not difficult, but it means that what citta, which doesn't have sopana chitasika with it, or must be sopana. That's all.
Yeah. And this is very, very good. Instead of making it complicated, it simplifies it.
Yes.
As they all fall into, the chittas fall into these various how they're variegated, how they're defined, mm-hmm. what is what. Very, very helpful. It's terminology, new words, and what they mean. And I was hesitant to bring it up because when I get the terms mixed up, my questions don't make sense. So I just thought that perhaps I'd mention this chapter and how beneficial it has been reading it, chapter 22. 22 is sobhana and asobhana. And then there are the roots and a chapter on feelings, chetasikas. So pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, indifferent feeling, pleasant bodily feeling is another interesting one, an unpleasant bodily and painful bodily feeling. So the reality of pleasant body feeling is also enough. Very interesting. It may be a little bit redundant, but I don't know. All this, because it's so rich and informative, I get something each time looking at this, reading it. So it's never repetitive for me.
And to understand what is now, feeling, see, sopana or asopana. Is seeing sopana?
Asopana.
Right. See, it's not akusala.
Yes.
But it is asopana.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because no sopana chittasikas arise with it.
It's just so lovely how they're all
that's the
fall into so simply and beautifully.
Wisdom of the Buddha. Even everything arises and falls away so very, very rapidly. He understood all as they are. Chittasika, each one cannot be changed. Arising to be that and then falls away and never to return. Actually, no one, nothing at all. From nothing to be something, and then nothing again.
And how fortunate, how absolutely fortunate and blessed to hear the Dhamma and to be have an interest in it arise. These citta and chetasikas accompanying it. Earlier in the chapter is about the weak akusala and people who are born handicapped, who have not the ability, or dvihetuka, people who are tihetukya, who have the chance to develop panya, understanding of Dhamma, and those who miss out, who just don't have these conditions. So just how fortunate to be here in this room.
Can I ask a little bit a deeper detail on this? When there's no wisdom to open ya to understand Dhamma, what kind of level can they understand like basic Dhamma?
Nothing.
Not really. So they're not interested.
For example, ask anyone, what is Dhamma? What is the answer?
Dhamma. reality.
Can they say reality when they know nothing about Dharma, about now?
Because I've seen some people, they like to donate, but they're not interested in Dharma.
So that person does know the Buddha at all.
So maybe would you consider that they don't have panya? They are born.
Certainly, panya. So what is panya?
They accumulate, right? They accumulate the behavior of donation, but they cannot understand why they do it.
Each word should be understood. Like, what is panya? When we talk about panya, what is it? Is it now? Is there now?
Can I ask one question? It's not about Abhapitamka, but it's about... I listened to one of your teaching, your talk about Pasalibut went to ask Buddha about some merchants who do their business and make lots of money, but some they made just even money, some make less money than they expected. And why would that be?
They are all Dhammas.
Yes.
No Sariputta, no business. Different cittas and cittasikas. As vipaka, result, or as kusla or akusla.
And one of the answer of Buddha was saying that, I'm trying to say in English and it's very difficult. The question is, now if I'm the merchant and I go to tell...
Citta, cittasika, whether it is kusla or vipaka or kriya.
But my intention, if my intention
Your
was
intention
like,
is what?
Chetana.
Okay. So it depends on chetana.
But if my chetana is that I would like to, if you need any help, please let me know. But now if the monk tells me that, oh, he would like to build this and that, and it's beyond my ability to provide that, would that be considered that I cannot...
Consider meet? Or understand?
I'll ask this question now because I know Nina hopefully will be listening. I said 3:15, so I just didn't want to interrupt the others because I think it's always valuable. And I'm sure Nina didn't mind either. Quite a while ago, apparently, Ajahn, Nina mentions here, she says, decades ago Ajahn said that if jhana has not been attained, metta cannot be unlimited. But that was a while ago, that was a long time ago. Now there's another man by the name of Larry, Larry's study of the compendium, it was said that metta is not one of the illimitables because it is a dosa chetasika. This is why my question came up. So Nina is asking, if jhana has not been attained, metta cannot be unlimited. What is your what do you say to that these days?
And Jhana? What is meant by unlimited?
Unlimited being, you know, it's like it's very powerful. Unlimited usually. When
not limit. Not limited.
No, not limited. It's,
not just this person or just this world.
Sorry, Ajahn.
Not just this person.
No, it's.
Not limit just this person.
No, it's many.
So, not enough.
Not enough, but.
So, what else? Where else?
I'm not.
Unlimited can be defined, except to say what you said, not
because it's moment of thinking about the truth of this moment, whether you like this person or you dislike that person. See, that is limited to just this person.
Or just this
citta. Citta with metta or dosa, dosa or adosa.
Clinging.
It depends. Yeah. At moment of giving. Some give to the person they like only.
Yes.
Is that metta?
No, not necessarily. It can be.
It can, but who knows?
giving to a stranger or to someone who's, or to a disgusting creature who's foul, and
that is the beginning of unlimited. The beginning, not enough. Any person in this room, any person out there, anyone in your house or the neighbor's house, more and more. To be not limited.
So, just to help me here, Ajahn, you seem to be saying there that metta can grow to being unlimited, even when there's not jhana.
If not, how can there be jhana?
Yeah, exactly. All the things
Yeah.
So when people say that because metta is not one of the illimitables, it's one of those chetasikas, it's a dosa chetasika, it's not one of the karuna or mudita. So because it's not one of those, that is, so, Nina, I'm not doing justice to your question, but Larry's study of the convening, it was said that metta is not one of the illimitables because it is a dosa chetasika. So the question seems to be saying that it can't be one of the illimitables because it is a dosa chetasika.
Really?
So
it
what
is.
It means unlimited again here?
Well, what I'm understanding...
It seems to be the same word used in two different
well,
meanings.
Well, I don't think so, but let me say it again. So a jhana a while ago, this is Nina's understanding, said that if jhana has not been attained, metta cannot be unlimited.
Right.
Correct?
After attaining jhana,
yeah,
it can grow on to second, third, fourth.
So on, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But now somebody's saying that metta is not one of the unlimited ones because it is just a chetasika, it's a dosa chetasika. So it can't, it seems to be saying there, as I understand it.
So what about I don't have dosa with this table? Do we have metta to this one?
No.
So
metta
has the meaning. Because you can't have metta towards things, you can only have metta towards beings. So it's limited in the sense that it is only to beings. And it is unlimited to the sense that it to all beings, no matter who, no matter what.
So that it can be unlimited, even though it's not jhana.
But it's meant by unlimited.
Jhana. You know, far and wide and up and down and.
Do you like anyone on the street?
Hopefully I do, but mostly to be truthful, yes, there's a lot of attachment.
So it's not metta?
No, not metta.
Limited?
Yes,
limited, yes.
But when it's jhana, it begins
to be
unlimited.
Yes, okay, that's right, that's what I understand.
And I think Ajahn also said that without the development of metta reaching unlimited number of people, there cannot be jhana also, right? But
yes.
Once it's jhana, it means it is unlimited.
And when we talk about jhana, it's broader than that.
Mm.
Jhana paccaya.
Okay, Nina, I hope that's a little bit clearer. And if it's not, we can talk about it again. Now, the other question...
And it's in the Tipitaka that after having jhana, then the metta can be unlimited.
Yes.
Can be unlimited or must be?
Must be, by saying.
Depending on level of jhana.
So, because earlier you said that even without jhana, metta can be unlimited.
So, at that moment when citta is so tranquil, what kind of citta? What is the object of that citta? When it is a person, then it's tranquil, sangok, peaceful. Two more, three more, 100 more, see? Before attaining jhana. Because when there is dosa, it cannot be jhana.
So even at the moment you have metta towards the most unlikely person, the most unpleasant person, it shows that it's unlimited?
Not yet, depending on whether it's there. More and more.
More and more. It depends, also it has to grow to a certain level, certain strength.
There's another question also, comes from Vince, and this is from your book, Ajahn, and it's talking about leading to accumulation. It's what's called Acharya Gamini, are those states which go about severally arranging births and deaths, a round of destiny like a bricklayer who arranges bricks arranges bricks layer by layer in a wall. So whenever we are not aware of the characteristics of realities when they appear, we do not understand them as they are, no matter whether a kusala dhamma or kusala dhamma present itself. We accumulate and build up life after life.
Okay, what page?
Page
about what?
92. It's on functions of chitta. Chapter number, in Nina's book, it's chapter number 10.
Okay, concentrate.
Can you read? Alright, so it's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pages, and it's just before the questions. I don't know if the title...
Just before the question.
Just before the question.
You mean end of the question? I mean
before
question at the end of the book?
It's almost at the at the end of the chapter.
Okay.
Please.
Okay,
so it says in the English there, when we are not aware of the characteristics of realities when they appear, and we do not understand them as they are, no matter whether a kusala dhamma or kusala dhamma present them itself, we accumulate and build up life after life, just like the bricklayer who piles on bricks one by one until they become a wall. However, when sati is aware of the characteristic of realities that appear as they really are, this is the path. Now, it is dispersion, or in the Pali there, apachaya gamin. One is, the first one we talked about was achaya gamin, and the other one's called apachaya gamin, which, so that is just the one is accumulating and the other one is not accumulating. Because then one does not build up dhammas that lead to accumulation, just as when a man tears down or breaks down the bricks that the bricklayer has piled up. Are we at this moment like the man who knocks down the bricks, or are we like the man who piles them up? So the question being asked for clarification is, and I'm just getting it clear in my own mind when I ask it, is that when there is the building up, or what's called achaya gamin, when there's no understanding, there's just the accumulation of the bricks, so to speak, and then there's the opposite of that, which is called apachaya gamin, or in other words is the non-building up, and in English they say dispersion. So the question is, can we say that when there is understanding, it's got two parts to this question, when there is no understanding, when there is understanding, there is not accumulations, as well as the bricks, so to speak, not being built up.
What about asiya anusiya?
Well, at that moment, when there's understanding, there would not be, it seems to me, asiya, anusiya. Would there be? It would not be at that moment when there is understanding.
Can we change the Buddha's word?
No.
So what is meant by asiya, anusiya?
Asiya means the kusala and akusala chaitasikas that are inherent. We say we are inherent in the citta.
So no matter what we say, it means that akusala is built up whenever it arises, and kusala is built up when it arises. That's all.
So when there's wisdom,
yes,
can we say there is the building up? When there is understanding, can we say there's the building up?
Build what?
The wall or whatever. This is the analogy.
Because at moment of understanding, there cannot be akusala.
No.
There cannot be avicca.
No, of course.
That's the way to eliminate it.
Yes.
Not to build up.
Yes.
The brick.
I don't know if I'm asking this properly because...
Maybe this is in the context of that kusala and akusala both
accumulate,
and if it's not direct understanding, then it's just more it conditions rebirth and more samsara.
No matter in what way we explain, it means that when kusala arises, it's there on and on, more and more.
Yes,
that's all.
And so the question is, when there is direct understanding and it is said that it is not building bricks, but at the same time we also know that panya accumulates, so how do you...
So when we say that the akusala does not accumulate, no wall maker at that moment, so it stops.
It just stops.
To build up because of panya understands.
But when there is other levels of kusala, at that time also no akusala.
Can it be eradicated?
Cannot be eradicated. Mm-hmm. So when panya arises, even though panya accumulates, it's also performing the function of breaking the walls?
Eliminate gradually.
Gradually. Okay.
Otherwise, nothing can eliminate it.
Okay. So the that's probably I can understand. It seems to me at this point that when there is panya, there is the breaking down, gradual breaking down, slight breaking down. Can we say that, Ajahn?
Until it's gone.
Until it's gone, yes, until it's gone. So it's probably, and this is what the question was, I feel, originally, that moment by moment, usually with ignorance, is the accumulating, there's the building up. And when there is, and that's called, when there's the building up, they call that the acchaya gami. That's the building up. Now, when there is wisdom, the translation is the opposite of that. But it seems to be more than that. It's not just the not building up, it's also the breaking down. Little by little. All right, so it is slightly different.
Because we cannot say that when panya arises, there is still at that moment ignorance.
Say it again, please, John.
It means that when panya arises,
yes,
it does mean that there is ignorance as before.
No.
So it means that each time panya arises, there's less ignorance. Little bit.
Less.
So actually it was Nina who wanted to clarify this, and it's good that she did, because I just thought it was, one was accumulating, the other one is not accumulating. But you seem to be saying, Ajahn, it's more than that. It's also not accumulating, and there is the breaking down, the gradual, very,
very,
very minute.
According to the level of panya.
According to the level of panya, yes. So that was a good point that Nina wanted to clarify, yeah, because I
did
but
not.
But I don't think that the simile is very important at all.
No.
Anyone who can understand the reality as it is, it's better than try to think about the simile.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
I mean, it's like any knowledge. You know, once you know the way to a certain place, you know it. Right? And you can say that your ignorance of that direction is eliminated because now you know it. So same way with understanding, once there is understanding, that little bit ignorance is also gradually worn away.
An interesting characteristic I noticed of this teaching, what the Buddha taught, is that early on, to break it down to its elements of nama and rupa, that is citta, cetasika, and rupa, that which experiences and that which does not, and then how with more information, how they're variegated and classified, and rather than being complicated, its simplicity is beautiful. The simplicity and the order is just breathtaking, astounding. And so in that way, being daunted by the task is overcome, and there is the quality of persistence is replacing that. Recently, I went to do something, and I encountered a Dhamma friend, and he said to me, well, we're usually closed by now, but they weren't yet, and I still went there, and I said to him, yes, this is an interesting thing that I just persist anyhow, even though there's all this negativity saying it's hopeless, it's too late, you'll never make it. I just persist somehow. And this is a very interesting characteristic. It's not complicated, but it is deep and profound. And I had the wrong view in the beginning, thinking this is going to be very complicated and difficult, but it's understandable, it's doable one moment at a time, one word at a time, as you say so beautifully.
Because life is one moment at a time.
Yeah. No, I like the way you put that, Kuniv, there, that it's doable, you know, it's not, rather than feeling overwhelmed or think, oh, it's too difficult, it is a moment-by-moment development, and that's, you know, a good point that you've made there, I think.
But why do you say that it's complicated?
Well, because it seems that wisdom is so slow.
Without wisdom, one doesn't see that it's complicated.
I think ignorance is complicated.
Everything.
What I understand, Achan, is that sometimes people read about all these lists of chittas, chittasikas and all that. They're overwhelmed by so much to know. But actually the teachings is to understand one at a time and understand what appears. So in that sense, it's not to know everything, it's to know one at a time.
And it bring about the understanding, actually, wisdom is not enough yet.
And that probably takes us back to that sutta we were talking about. If you just think, being a parayati bahulo, then that it can seem to be overwhelming. I don't know if I'm putting it so well. But if you are a Dhamma Vihari, you are living in Dhamma, then there is not the sense that this is difficult when there is...
It is difficult, but it can be understood.
Yes.
And life is one citta at a time, and the universe is one citta at a time, and the knowledge is not limited simply to this plane of existence, but all-encompassing, a 360-degree type of knowledge, so to speak.
That
so
seems to be making it complicated.
A human lifetime, one moment at a time, a human lifetime is eons.
Not only human lifetime.
Which the habit of thinking in terms of people and things is very strong. That even as students of Dhamma, there's so much just the akusala arises so often.
No expectation to get rid as soon as by I, because actually it's a function of panya.
So at least we know that it can't be got rid of by I. But then again, even that is not understood all the time. Sometimes there's so much trying and feeling hopeless that it's why there's no understanding. It's because there's so much I there.
So we learn to understand what is meant by sila patta pramasa, which can only be eradicated by sotapanna.
And why it is there until
moment
it is
of realization.
Eradicated. There shouldn't be a problem with anyone doing anything to us or anything. It's just chitta sikkhas.
Mm-hmm.
But still there are problems.
By conditions. It's just light, very tiny light in the dark room or dark abyss or dark world.
There's problem even when nobody is doing anything to us.
Just keep that light on.
And I remarked to Kunsukin the other day, does it seem as if there's so much support for akusala, sensual pleasures or objects, and so little support for wholesomeness in this time?
You mean to say the outside world? What do you expect? I mean, you're here, you've got a chance to listen to Dhamma, you know how hard it is in relation to your own akusala. It's your akusala is the problem, not the world.
Yes.
So what is the world?
One it's moment at a time.
Of?
Chitta, chetasika,
rupa. Yeah, whatever is there, it's
what
a world.
Is, no need to think about it.
The breaking world.
You say the breaking world, Ajahn?
Always break. All the time, broken.
Nice. Falling apart.
Falling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Disintegrating.
Yeah.
What?
The
yes.
world is that which disintegrates,
yes.
which arises
and falls.
Yes. It doesn't seem like that, Ajahn, though.
Only Panya can see.
Yes, right.
It's not. Doesn't seem like that because there's no understanding. If we are expecting that the glass should be seen as falling away, then that's not the way it is. What's falling away is hardness, visible object, thinking.
Right now.
Self.
Well, yes, that's what the Buddha said. His last words were, you know, vaya dhamma sankhara, you know, that the world is just perishing. It disappears, vanishes.
Imagine it's the world of no one at all. Just a reality is the object of sammasati with panya, which understand only that. So nothing else is there. So dark understanding is there. To understand that which appears one by one. That is the meaning of no one at all. Nothing. Only hardness. Cannot be anything. Seeing cannot be other thing. Just one at a time.
Functions of chitta.
Arising and falling away in succession so rapidly, like the magic.
Like the magic trick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it seems so real, something that it's not.
Ajahn, there's a difference between seeming that it's real and seeming that it's continuous. The continuity is because of the repetitivity of chittas. It seems continuous, but not necessarily there's wrong understanding at that time. It's just the way it is. The nimitta is the object of understanding, can be the object of understanding. And it's not just one reality, it's many realities. So seeming that it's real is the problem, because when there is wrong understanding makes what is not real as real.
If it's not experienced just one by one, can we say that it's real? The arising and falling away?
And one by one, you don't mean one by one chitta chetasika, you mean one characteristic.
One nimitta. So even we say one, there should be right understanding of the meaning of one. Chitta and chetasikas arising together. But only one characteristic is object of understanding. See? Chitta arises with chetasikas, but only one is the object of right understanding. How sharp panya is there? From hearing, it develops on and on and on. Not taking things as something or a thing anymore. So it has to be the understanding of moment when right awareness arises. Because now no one can say anything about chetasikas, which one, citta, which one. But when it's sammasati, it begins to pay attention, to attend to a characteristic only, with understanding of that particular object.
And at that moment, it's not something.
Never. Like we just simply say, is hardness a thing? See?
Well, panya accumulates one moment at a time, and it starts with just one infinitesimally small moment of understanding.
Yeah, and also the characteristic of panya cannot be taken for I. So clear that it has to be only that characteristic.
And panya arises mm-hmm. and falls away.
Yeah. Later.
Are you saying, Achan, that means in the beginning panya will not be object of panya? Because it's so little, so short.
It's only thinking about realities, but not the direct experience of anyone yet. Until it's there unexpectedly. To understand the meaning of anatta, not under anyone's control.
And yet it arises and falls away. And it's there when there's understanding, even though we may not know it.
From hearing now. Otherwise, no conditions for that level of panya.
A beautiful characteristic of panya is once known, cannot go back to not knowing.
Mm-hmm. But not knowing will arise again and again.
The ignorance of that, over and over again, and the worry.
3 moments after seeing, see? How fast. And it does not show up. Because now it seems like there is only seeing. Only. But what about the citta arises before seeing and after seeing?
So, Achan, what you're saying is that when there's a direct understanding of seeing, there's also already the understanding that seeing doesn't rise all the time.
Just one, nimitta.
I mean, Achan, in this sutta, spending the day, he spends a day in Dhamma thinking. that actually arises a lot without understanding, because of attachment. Attachment will attach to anything, even in thinking about Dhamma.
Only Nibbana and the Rokudra cannot be object of Lobha before it is known as Lobha, attachment.
I mean, we can see, again, even here, when we ask a question and then you say, yeah, you approve, or we give an answer and you say, right, attachment comes, you know, again.
But there can be a moment of understanding
that
attachment.
Also, right. So,
not to stop it, but to understand.
So these descriptions can happen to us, these things,
yeah.
Anytime.
Mm-hmm. It's just like Buddha said to us.
So everything can be useful, any moment, anything can be useful for
when
understanding,
right.
For a moment of understanding.
It's useful only when it's understood. Otherwise, it's building bricks.
Yes. Walls.
It's 4 o'clock.
Okay.